Book of Exodus 25, beginning at verse number 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and after the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Praise God. And I'm going to endeavor to preach and teach for a little while this morning about the pattern, its purpose, and its power. And I have preached from this even this past year, back in July. But I want to go into it a little bit deeper, and I want to try to extract in this lesson here this morning, I want to extract more of the purpose of all of it today. Amen. We have looked at this year that we are in now to be a year of R&R, relationship and revival, and we're definitely looking forward to that. Amen. And so we want to start this off here this morning this way. And I just want to also say that it is such an honor to announce tonight, this morning, that we are going to have Brother Wirth's ministering every first Sunday of the month, other than today, but he'll take care of next week. But other than that, he's going to have the first Sunday of the month, and I'm looking forward to that. I've been blessed every time that he has brought the word forward to us, and I am definitely looking forward to that. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, Jesus, for what you have done in this place, what you have done amongst us. God, we are blessed by your Spirit. We're blessed by your power, by who you are, by all that you are. I pray, God, that you would help us here this morning, that your word would be real, that revelation and enlightenment would come, that you would talk to us and deal with us, Lord, and we'll be quick to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated today. Praise God. Amen. Now, I do know that the plans of this coming year will be on Sunday mornings to slow down a little bit, but I just can't promise you how much and for how long. But I'll definitely try and do a little bit more teaching Sunday mornings, and just looking forward to it. Praise God. The pattern, its purpose, and its power. We have just read here in our text today, and the Lord said, let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. And so God was letting them know, I'm not going to just let you make me a sanctuary upon your own imagination, your own whims, but I want you to make me a sanctuary according to the pattern that I am going to show you. I'm going to give you the blueprints of it, the pattern of the tabernacle, as well as the pattern of all of the things that are going to be on the inside. And literally, if we were and are to take the time to dig into the tabernacle and all of the instruments and pieces that are in it, and all of the things that it goes in it to make up the tabernacle, it is literally going to take us a year to walk through all of that. I enjoy studying concerning the tabernacle. I have studied it and presented it so far from two different perspectives, and presenting it from the furniture pieces and things that are on the inside, and of course those things that seem to be of most importance, but also from the other angle of it. And but we'll get into that at some point in time. But this is the place that God began to set forth that he would desire that they would make him a tabernacle, which would become known as the tabernacle in the wilderness. tabernacle in the wilderness. And it had its place, it had its time. But there was a pattern that was to it. The greatest monument, the most significant of all in the Old Testament, had the most significant type and shadows about it. The most prominent icon of the Old Testament was getting ready to take shape upon the pages of Holy Writ here today. And so the blueprints began to be expounded as God begins to unfold his thoughts to man. The thoughts that would only make a minute of sense when compared to the holes in the centuries to come. When you take a look at this furniture, when you take a look at the uprising, the building of the tabernacle, and to know that it was transportable, that it could be moved, and that it was moved, but yet the intrinsic or the intricate details concerning it, it would just takes just a moment to read past them. As we go through our Bible reading this year, we will come upon this. And within just a few short days, we will be past its complexities and past all of its intricacies and move on. And very seldom will we ever think into it much more than just what the eye beholds upon the pages. But yet there are so many details and spiritual significations about it. There are so many things that are involved in the tabernacle, and all of it points to a greater substance, and we know that that substance is Christ. Amen. What would seem to be simple materials, simple measurements, and simple instructions are chocked full of types and of shadows of salvation that was to come. This plan of God, when looked upon from heaven's point of view, it is awe-inspiring, it's amazing, it's astounding, and to think that every intricate detail concerning God, concerning his attributes, and the salvation that he would bring are clearly represented in a whole. To think that not one detail would be forsaken, not one expense was to be withheld, and yet we still do not comprehend the fullness of that old tabernacle in the wilderness. And to this very day, there are precious and golden gems being mined from the scriptures, gems that are new to the new converts, precious to the steadfast saint, and mind-boggling to the persistent theologians. But it was God who was ready to put all of this plan as a pattern together, a plan that would manifestly represent spiritual principles throughout all of the ages to come. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It was a pattern. It was a pattern. Amen. And we could take the time to look into, quickly to look into some of these patterns. And most of us, this is nothing new to any of us. And just looking around as a whole, I would venture to say that probably 100% of us are all acquainted to some degree and some more in depth than others, but we are acquainted with the pattern. But yet this is what God would call the shadow of the substance, the shadow of things that were to come, a greater thing that was to come. Amen. When we get into the Ark of the Covenant and in Exodus 25, he specifically said the type of wood that was supposed to be used and the length and the depth thereof and the breadth of it and the height of it. Amen. God was very specific about this ark. Praise God. And we're going to see that in all things that God is very specific about all things. And when we understand that it has its representation of Jesus Christ, it has its representation of salvation, amen, then we can understand the specifics of it. For all that would say, you know, it just does not matter. No, I'm here to tell you this morning, it does matter. Praise God. It does matter. when he began to speak concerning the golden candlesticks in 25 and 31. He spoke of how that it would be pure gold and that it would be beaten work. And his shaft, his branches, and his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be of the same. All of it was supposed to be of pure gold, and it would be of beaten gold. The boards of the tabernacle, amen, were to be of shittim wood standing up. And the curtains were to be of fine twine linen, blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims and cunning work thou shalt make them. Praise God. Blue and purple and scarlet. Everything had its purpose. When you get into the ark or into the making and the work of the tabernacle, you cannot afford to look over any little piece of it because it has its purpose. And I just believe that God in all of his majesty and his omniscience, when he began to put this together, amen, and through the years as it would begin to unfold and reveal itself unto us, and we began to understand that even the measurements and the colors have their purpose. It causes us to look about the stars and the skies and to think and to sing the song, amen, of how great is our God. Amen. What a great God that we serve. Praise God. I oftentimes think that we sell ourselves extremely short. Amen. When we begin to think upon the ways of God and who that God is. Because in our minds, we just simply see some type of individual that would be sitting upon a throne, who has all power in his hand, amen, all knowledge in his mind, amen, and love unmeasurable within his heart. Praise God. Amen. But like I said, you sell yourself way short. Amen. When I think it is impossible for us to imagine all of the things that concern God. And I simply said all of that just to say this, amen, that when we begin to think of God, the relationship that we have with God oftentimes is not what it can be because we do not recognize, amen, the ability, the power, the awesomeness, the magnitude, amen, the level, amen, that God is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you were invited to be in the presence of your, I'll just have to say it like this. If you were invited to be in the presence of your most favorite president of all of the ages, you would consider it an honor, and you would dress yourself appropriately, and you would mind your manners, and you would make sure that everything is correctly. If you were invited to be in the presence of dignitaries and of high end people, a lineage of royalty, amen, you would dress accordingly and feel such honor. I just want you to know that when you are in the presence of the Almighty God, you are superseding, amen, a level that humanity could strive to get to. Amen. There is no way that humanity in all of its talent, abilities, or any such thing would be able to come close to the awesome power and the presence of the mighty God. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us, amen, that even the leaves and the trees wave their hands and clap in the presence of God. That the mountain would smoke at the presence of God. Amen. The creation of God would sing its glory, sing the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus simply said that if these will not praise me, that the rocks would cry out. And I understand what it's talking about, but I'm just simply saying there is such an awesomeness about God. Amen. That when we begin to get into this tabernacle, we understand that it represents God.
We understand that it represents God. And yes, it does represent God. But it wasn't built for God. I know he said, let them build me a sanctuary. But why did he want a sanctuary? To commune with you. That's why. It was you that he had in mind. It wasn't so that he could sit higher. That he could be bigger. Amen. That he could be more. No, 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 no. It was humanity. Amen. That caused him. Let them build me a place that represents who I am, that they can't come unto me. Hallelujah. It was God's desire to have you in his presence. Praise God.
Amen. Let me take three deep breaths and slow down. Praise God. Amen. And so, Exodus 26, he begins to talk about a veil of blue. Chapter 36, he made that veil of blue and purple and scarlet, fine twine linen with cherubims, made the cunning work. They did exactly what the Lord had purposed and designed for it to be. Exodus 27 and 1, they made that altar, and they made it the exact length and the exact breadth and the exact height that God had ordained them to build it. Amen. So thou shalt make a court of the tabernacle. And begin to describe that. A laver of brass, and its foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. God was very specific about where he wanted all of this as well. Amen. And the reason that he wanted it in specific places was for you. Amen. Amen. What is a laver of water going to do on the other side of the Ark of the Covenant, on the other side of the holy place? Amen. I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to be out of place, and you're going to appear before God unholy and unwashed. Amen. And guilty in his presence, which brings forth judgment. God knew where to place that for you. Praise God. It was the relationship that he would desire to have with you that would have him to put it, to place it, to build it, to have it, amen, where that it was. Amen. And so this was the pattern that was given unto them to follow. Yet it was more than just pieces of furniture and curtains and sockets and planks overlaid with gold or brass, but there was a spiritual principle that was supposed to be a part of their daily or their yearly sacrifices. Amen. There was a principle that was there, or in other words, there was purpose that was there. And so for some 1,500 years, they met in the synagogues. They observed the Sabbath. They kept their dietary laws. They made their annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem, and they observed the feast, and they observed the fast. They paid their tithe, they gave their temple taxes, and they observed all of the patterns. Praise God. But I want you to know that it was not the observing the patterns that brought forth the fulfillment. Amen. It was the thing that they became, as I preached before, they became a prisoner of the pattern. They became a prisoner of the pattern. Praise God. In other words, they just started operating. They just did what was required of them. Amen. And it wasn't just the people, but it was. The people would come and they would drag along their sacrifices, and because that's just what we do. And here they brought their sacrifice and they gave it unto the priest because that's just what we do. And the priest would take it and set it upon the altar and would cut its throat and would catch the blood because that's just what we do. And then they would take that blood that was caught in the bowl and they would take it to the laver of water and they would wash themselves because that's just what was supposed to happen. And then after washing themselves, they would go into the holy place, and there was the seven golden candlesticks, and they're all lit because that's what's supposed to be. There's supposed to always be lit and stuff, and somebody's a keeper of the flame, and they're going in there and making sure that, you know, somebody's always going through and pouring some more oil in the bowls and such, and making sure that the flame, everything's good, and trimming the wicks and stuff. Everything's good and stuff. And we move on, and let's take a look over here. Here's the table of showbread. It's got all of its little pieces and stuff right here. Everything's good. And here's the altar of incense and the worship and the prayer and things that's there, and the smoke is ascending. That's what's supposed to happen. And everything's wonderful. And so now we go beyond the veil, and we get beyond the veil, and here's the Ark of the Covenant. Everything looks like it's always looked. Everything's supposed to be. And so we're just going to sprinkle some blood on there like we always do. And when we're done, we'll come out and we'll rejoice and we'll say, the Lord has accepted our sacrifice. And year after year after year after year after year after year after year, 1,500 years of this. It's hard to imagine. Amen. And I don't even know that Brother Tucker could imagine that. At 80-something years of age. Amen. Praise God. Methuselah couldn't even imagine that. 1,500 years of this, and here we are, and God looks down upon it, and he says, you're missing it. You're missing the point. This is not what I designed this for. Now, I understand that he knew, because he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So he knew that there would come a time that he would have to be the high priest and the sacrifice. But 1,500 years into this, we get to the place that he says, it's time. It's time. It's time to put the plan into action. And then he would do that. He would step down into a body of flesh, would come and dwell among us, and we would behold his glory. Praise God. Praise God. But nevertheless, the Old Testament tabernacle still had its purpose. It had its purpose. And there's a lesson that we can glean from it today. Amen. I'm going to read some scriptures here today before we finalize all of this. But in Hebrews chapter number 8 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mountain." Amen. And he declared, prefaced this by saying that it was the shadow of heavenly things that were to come, even that pattern in the of the tabernacle, according to all the things, according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. For it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." This was, amen, that all things by the law purged by blood, the pattern of things in the heaven should be purified with these. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 1, he talked about the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. Praise God. All of those things in the Old Testament, they were a shadow of good things to come, but they were not the very image of the things, amen, that were to come. And there in verse number 7, he said, the Lord spoke and said, "I am come, for in the volume of the book it is written of me." In the entire book, it is written of me. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 24. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster." It was our guiding, our guidance. It was our teacher. It was our counselor. It was that was to bring us unto
Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Praise God. Amen. All of this was, there was a purpose that was in it. And the purpose was to make us to be acceptable in His presence. Amen. There was a purpose that was involved in the altar of sacrifice and the shedding of blood. There was a purpose, amen, at the laver and for the laver of water. There was a purpose for the seven golden candlesticks. Purpose for the table of showbread and the altar of incense. There was a purpose for the altar of the covenant and for the mercy seat. There was a purpose for the angelic cherubims that sat upon that mercy seat. There was a purpose for the tent and for the badger skins. There was a purpose for the gold and for the brass. There was a purpose for the curtains. A purpose for the fine twine linen. A purpose, amen, for all of the wood that would be overlaid with gold. There was a purpose for the scarlet, for the hues of blue and for the purple, amen. There was a purpose for all of it, but I want you to know that after a while, after a time, the purpose was forgotten. It was forgotten. Amen, amen. I remember building the church there in Aransas Pass and got up there early one morning, well before the sun ever came up, and got up high in that lift, and I began to paint the entire sanctuary ceiling black. And the purpose of that was so that everything would disappear. And we brought that line down to some 18 foot. So there is an imaginary ceiling at 18 foot. And people basically just look up to the color, and where the color stops, that's where your eye stops. You don't venture off into the black to see nothing. And that was the purpose of it. It was the purpose of it was to make everything above 18 foot to disappear. And so we painted all the things that was up there, spray painted them all black. And before we got to putting in the carpet and such, we brought in the alarm system, the smoke alarm people, and they came in and they put these obnoxious white smoke alarms up at the very top, and there they covered them up with an orange little hood there so that the construction dust wouldn't set them off or everything. And so before we put the carpet down, we got up there and they checked them and made sure that they worked, and they pulled the little orange caps off, and we thought, well, you know what's going to happen is when everybody's gone, we're going to go up there and we're going to paint them black. And but in painting them black, you void the warranty, and then if your church burns down, amen, the insurance company's not going to pay. And so up there, and the purpose was to make everything disappear. Now we have some white smoke detectors setting up there at the top. Amen. Obnoxious, just to upset you, make you angry. And Brother Riley was quite upset with those white smoke alarms up in the black ceiling. And I told him this. I said, look, I said, nobody's going to see it after about four services. They'll disappear just like everything else is going to disappear. Amen. And you know what happens is people come in, and the first time they come in, they observe everything. And they look around and they ask questions about everything. Now, what's the purpose of this? And what does this do? And this is beautiful, and I like this, and I like that, and I don't know that I understand this, and all that stuff. And they look up, why did you paint the ceiling black? And what are those white smoke alarms up there? And what's that for? And this and stuff. And that happens for about 2 to 3 services. You get into it about 5 services, and this is the way that people walk in the door. They come in the door and they never even look up. They just walk to their place, put their Bible down on their pew, turn around, look at everybody, amen, and just go on about the pattern. And nobody ever looks up and sees the white smoke alarms anymore. They have disappeared. They're gone. They're there, and they have their purpose. That if there is a fire and that if the smoke gets up there, that they will go off. Praise God.
Up there in that black area, there are the frog lights. Amen. You got frog lights over there. Amen. That come on if the power goes off. And you know what? When you first put them up, they look obnoxious. Say, well, what are those things doing? And I don't understand that. They don't make any sense. I mean, what are you going to put lights up if you're not going to turn them on? No, we don't turn them on. They come on if all the power goes out. That way you can see where you're going and you don't trip over each other. Well, that's goofy. Well, it's goofy today, but wait till the power goes off and you're going to be saying, well, I'm so glad we put those frog lights in. They got a purpose. But nobody came in today and looked at those and sat there and thought to themselves, I wonder if those still work. Chances are nobody even looked at them today. But they have a purpose. Some of you still don't even know what I'm looking at. You don't even know where they are. But they have a purpose. I simply said all of that to say church has a purpose. God has a purpose. Amen. And we must never forget the purpose of why we come to church. But when we become a prisoner of the pattern, amen. Oh, Jesus, help me, God. Let me take a... You think I'm taking a drink to cool down. I'm taking a drink because I'm building up steam. But you see, the problem with this religious world is that religion has become a pattern. And religion has no purpose. They go to church because that's the way that they were brought up and raised to do. Because in America, amen, whether a lot want to accept it or not, it is a Christian nation. And today, at this point in time, there's still, amen, a greater percentage of Christians than non-Christians. That is changing, amen, rapidly. But this is why that the sanctuaries of the religious world are filled up. And they go there and they sit there. And it has become nothing more than an entertainment venue. And they go there, amen, and they communicate with one another. They talk with one another. Their friends that are there, they sit there, amen. Some cut up in church, amen, together. Some just sit there and listen. And they are given some type of speech that is to make them feel better about themselves. It has a little bit of Jesus or God intertwined in with it. And somebody gets up and sings a song that nobody really feels anything for, because that's just what they do. I was reading, whether I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I read a post somewhere that says, amen, that I'm so glad that our pastor explained it to us that he can go oftentimes, more times than not. I think it said something along the lines of maybe two times a year that he ever really feels the presence of God. And that truly helped me to understand that I'm not always going to feel the presence of God. What a sad exclamation. Amen. To come to the place that we have realized, or that we come unto a realization or begin to accept that I'm going to the house of God and chances are I'm not even going to feel His presence. You know why you don't feel His presence there? Because He's not there. He's not there. Amen, amen, amen. And that is because that they go, there is a pattern of the things that happen. And they do the things that they do because that is the pattern of everything. But they have forgotten the purpose of it all. And that's why they are still addicted to all kinds of vices. That's why they are addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography, addicted to, you name it, they're addicted to it. Addicted to social media, addicted to video games, addicted
addicted to all of these different things, and there is no power of God that is amongst them. Oh, God help us. Amen. We've got to realize that there is a purpose that we cannot afford to bypass, and the only way that you're not going to bypass it is you've got to stay in tune with the pattern. You've got to stay in tune with the purpose of it. You've got to visit the purpose of the power of what God would have for us. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The altar, let me just go on to say that the altar of sacrifice is going to lose its purpose unless you are familiar with it and visiting it. And it's got to be more than just a pattern of coming to it and saying, God, forgive me of my sins, and God, wash me, and God, cleanse me. But you got to understand that without that altar of sacrifice, you are lost and undone. And that if there was no altar of sacrifice, you would have no hope. But God wanted you to have hope, and therefore he made a the altar of sacrifice is more than a confession window that you go to and say, Father, I have sinned, and I've got to go pay this penance, and I've got to say these Hail Marys, and I've got to do this and do that, amen, because that's the pattern. No, it's more than a pattern. There is a relationship that I have when I go down to that altar, amen, as the hot tears begin to cascade down my cheeks as I realize that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that if I don't find grace at this altar, I'm going to be lost forever. I need God. Praise God. Amen. But it's not just the religious world, it's the Pentecostal world, it's the apostolic world. And the only one that can prevent that is us. We're the only ones. We're the only ones that can prevent that. And if we don't stand against that, then we will be a prisoner of the pattern. And when you're a prisoner of the pattern, you don't understand and recognize the purpose of the pattern. And if you fail to have the purpose, then you're never going to experience the power of the pattern. You've got to have it all. Let me just tell you what happens. When you become a prisoner of the pattern, adultery and fornication means nothing anymore. It's no big deal. There's that thing called the altar over there. I just go ask for forgiveness. No big deal. And you can go out and you can commit fornication, and you can still come to church and be perfectly content because you're a prisoner of the pattern. Because you've lost sight of what God did for you at Calvary. And you sit there in a bed of fornication, nailing him afresh to the cross again. Because you've lost the purpose of it all. When we become a prisoner of the pattern, amen, then we can go and we can do whatever we want to out the world, just as long as we come back by the church at some point in time. It doesn't matter what I do on Monday and Tuesday, because I got to go by the tabernacle on Wednesday. And if I go by the tabernacle on Wednesday, I must be okay. It's when I don't go by the tabernacle on Wednesday that I'm lost. Thursday, Friday, Saturday doesn't really mean much. I can do what I want to. I can drink if I want to. I can lie if I want to. I can cuss. I can steal. I can forget all about God on, amen, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Because on Sunday, the pattern is that I go back by the tabernacle. And when I go back by the tabernacle on Sunday morning, everything's okay. You're okay today because you come to church. Pastor, I'm here. Tell me I'm doing wrong. I haven't missed a Sunday. You haven't come in a month of Sundays. There's people that say, I haven't missed a Sunday in 20 years. You haven't been to church in 20 years. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to get us to think a little bit about this. Amen. This is more than just coming to a place. It's more than just coming to a service and calling ourselves religious. This is exactly what Jesus Christ condemned the Pharisees for doing. They pulled up their Pentecostal check sheet and said, I don't ever miss church. I pay my tithe. I fast twice a week. I pray every day. I do these things. And Jesus said, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite because you've lost the purpose of it all. And here you are saying, I thank my Lord, my God, that I'm not like that one that's over there. You know who I'm talking about. And they're over there and they're smiting their chest saying, God, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. And God's saying, here's an individual that still understands the purpose of it all. And here's an individual that is holier than thou, waving his hands and, oh, thank you, Jesus. And they're a prisoner of the pattern. And the Lord looked at them and said, you're like a whited sepulcher. Amen. On the outside, you got it all painted up and looking right. But on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. You're like an individual. Individual that takes a cup and washes the outside, but the inside is still all dirty. You've lost the purpose of what church really is. Amen. What is church? Church is a place that I can come to and get a little bit of strength, that when I am out there on Monday and Tuesday, I'm living right and doing right because I'm experiencing the power of the purpose. Amen. I understand that the church has its pattern, but there is a purpose for the church. And with that, I'm going to have the power to overcome all of the abilities, the wiles of the devil. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so with this, I'm getting ready to close. But with this, we began to take self-evaluation of things. Because as James said, that we're like a man that beholds himself in a mirror. And he beholds and sees what manner of man that he is. But he does nothing to change it. This, as they say, is where the rubber meets the road. But this is where it gets personal. Because only you can change it. I can stand up here and I can preach until my face turns red and I pass out. I can preach it as hard. I can teach it as light. I can pat you on the back. I can try to help you. But ultimately, you're the one that's got to change things. I'm just simply saying that there is a purpose that is greater than just coming to church. There's a purpose that is greater than you raising your hand and saying, I'm apostolic. There is a life-changing experience that can happen in every service. But when we fail to realize that and we just think, oh, this is just a Sunday morning that we're going to get to come to church and we'll sing a few songs and we'll go through the motions and we'll hear a message and we'll say a little prayer and then we'll go home and we'll do it all again on Sunday night, then we've lost the purpose of it. And that's why people backslide. That's why people backslide. It's because you keep coming and you keep thinking to yourself, well, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. I just don't understand, you know. In reality, we're really not doing everything that we're supposed to be doing because we're missing the spirit of it all. But this is why we have altar services where people go down to the altar and they weep and they cry and they present themselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord again. I preached here many years ago about the individual. I went and looked it up. But I preached many years ago about the individual that
came upon that tabernacle in the wilderness and looked down at that ugly tabernacle of badger skins. And when he looked at that, he thought to himself, what's all the excitement? Why is everybody excited about that? Look at the thousands upon thousands of people that's surrounding this. I think I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to find out what's there to be excited about. And so he began to wander through, and nobody would pay him much attention because they would just figure that he's of a different tribe just wandering through, until he came to the tribe of Judah. And the tribe of Judah was the one that was positioned right outside the door of the tabernacle, because you ought not to be able to come into the tabernacle until you come through praise and worship. And so right outside he comes there, and there's the guard that's standing there and says, whoa, wait a second, who are you? Well, I'm just an Amalekite. What do you want? Well, I'd like to go in and find out what all of the hoorah is all about. You can't. Why? Why can't I? I mean, I see other people doing it. Why can't I? Because you can't. You're an Amalekite. You would have to be born of the tribe. You would have to be born of Jacob, of Israel, to be able to come in here. Are you serious? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would have to be born of one of the Israelites to come in here. Oh, well, I wish that I was an Israelite so I could go in there. And if I could go in there, then what could I experience? Well, in there is an altar of sacrifice, and this happens, and then there's the laver of water. And then beyond that is the holy place, and inside there is the golden candlesticks, and there's this and this. Oh, that would be awesome. I'd really like to go into that place. No, you couldn't go in there. Well, if I was an Israelite, I could. No, you couldn't. You couldn't. What do you mean? You just told me I had to be an Israelite. Yeah, you do, to get in the first door. But you got to be a Levite to get in the second door. Levite. Yeah, that was one of the sons of Israel, of Jacob. Oh, well, I wish that I was born of an Israelite of the tribe of Levi. Then I could go in there and then I could see all of that wonderful stuff. Yes, you could. And what's beyond all of that? Well, inside there is a veil, and you can go beyond the veil, and there is a mercy seat. There's the Ark of the Covenant that's there, and the mercy seat that's there and stuff. Wow! I'd go in there for sure. No, you wouldn't. Well, I mean, I could if I was a Levite. No. No, you couldn't. Not if you were just a Levite. You couldn't. You would have to be born after the sons of Aaron to be able to go in there, to visit that place. Really? Yeah. You see, not anybody could go into all of these places. But when Calvary happened, that veil was rent. And today you don't have to be one of the sons of Aaron. You don't have to be of the tribe of Levi, of the family of Israel. But you can come boldly before His throne in the time of need. You can. Back then, you just had to correspond as you brought your sacrifice. And correspond your sorrow, your repentance. And hopefully, the priest would represent it in a great degree. I'm just speaking. How would you feel about that today? That you would have to come before me and express your sorrow, and then hopefully I could adequately express it to the Lord to find out the penance that you would have to pay so that you could be free. That's why the woman with an issue of blood, when she heard that Jesus was coming, and she was weak and she was faint and she was sickly, she could have told somebody else, would you please go try to get Jesus for me? But after about the first elbow in the face and after the first push away and stuff, said, look, mind your manners and wait your turn and stuff. Said, you know what? It's not me. It's not me with the problem. It's not me with the issue. I'll just go back and tell her, hey, I tried, but I didn't quite make it. I got pushed aside. It was too hard. I mean, you see this cut in my cheek? I got trying to help you, but, you know. No, the woman realized this is my sickness and this I'm going to do it. And so she got up in her weak state and her weak condition and she pushed and she pressed until she finally made her way so that she was able to touch the hem of his garment. Amen. She began to understand that the pattern of all of this, that everybody that's around that touches, they have. She understood the purpose, all of that, and she experienced the power of all of that. I want us to stand here today. Amen. And I want a spirit of prayer to come over us here today. Somehow or another, we've got to have our conscience awakened that it's more than just us coming to church. It's more than just us coming spending time, amen, at a church house somewhere. It's more than just being faithful to the house of God. It's more than just putting our offering and our tithing in an offering plate somewhere. There is something in the spiritual that is happening. And I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. I don't know what temptation, what trial. I don't know what phone call is going to call tomorrow and wreck my day. I don't know what sickness is going to come my way and try my faith. I don't know what the boss is going to say tomorrow. I've got to have something today. And I may feel like I'm on top of the world. And I may feel like everything is going great. But God, my times are in your hands. And help me, Lord, just to keep them there. Amen. I don't want to do the things that and plan it all and do all these things when everything is going my way. But when everything is going good, I still want to depend upon you. I still want to put my faith in you. I still want to trust in you. Not just when I'm in need, God, but I want to be sure that it's fresh. I want to be sure that the fire is still burning in my life. I want to be sure, amen, that the altar of repentance is still being used in my life. I want to still be sure, amen, that I'm being washed continually by the washing of the word, by the regeneration of the spirit. Amen. I want to make sure that this is an operation in my life. I want to make sure, God, that my prayers are coming up before you as a memorial, oh Lord Jesus. I want to be sure, God, that you still know who I am and that I know who you are. I want to be sure that I have a relationship with you, not just with the church. I want to be more than just a member at the church somewhere. I want to be more than just an individual that warms a pew somewhere. I want to do more than just play the games and just be a part. I want to understand the intricacies of it. I want to understand the purpose of it. I want to experience the power of the Holy Ghost. Experience the power of salvation. The power of deliverance. I want to experience the power, amen, of your glory as it radiates down into my home. I want my home to be your home, God. I want your peace to fill my house. I want your peace to rule my family, oh God. I want to be more than just religious, oh God. Amen. I want relationship with you, Lord. That where I am, you're there also. When I'm driving down the road, I want to feel your presence. I want to hear your voice. I want to feel your wooing. I want to know that you're as close as the mention of your name. Oh God, I don't want to be just religious. I don't want to just go through the part of it, Lord. I want to be saved. I don't want to be deterred. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be led astray. I don't want to falter and fall. I want to make it, God. Help me to understand, God, that the enemy is doing his best to try to get me to walk away, to backslide. But oh God, there is a day that is coming, a day that is soon approaching, and I've got to make it. I've got to make it. I've got to make my calling and election sure. Every day is important. Every
Every service is important. God, I can't afford to pick and choose what services I'm going to miss. I cannot get to the place that I say, oh, you know what? It's okay if I miss a service here or there. I'll be okay. No, God, that's just a pattern. That's a pattern. Amen. Every service is important. Every time I can come to church, it's important. I got to be in your presence. I got to be in your presence, God. I got to feel your presence. I got to feel the wooing of the Holy Ghost. I got to feel the washing of the Spirit. I got to feel the warmth of your embrace. I got to experience the newness of the Holy Ghost. I got to have it all over again and again and again and again. Oh God, how long has it been since I've spoken in tongues? How long has it been, oh God, since I've experienced the renewal of the Holy Ghost? How long has it been, oh Jesus, since I have experienced joy unspeakable and full of glory? How long has it been, God, since I felt that newness, amen, of your presence and your Spirit about me? Or have I become old and callous to it? Have I come to the place, Lord Jesus, that it matters not, amen, what happens at church as long as I was there? It doesn't matter if I talked in tongues. It doesn't matter if I felt your presence or not. All that matters is I was at church. I don't want to be that way, God. I don't want to be that way, God. I want to get to that place that I desire to go to your house. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, and I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. God, help me. Wash me and cleanse me. Forgive me, God, for these mindsets. Forgive me, God, for thinking that I've done my part by just coming. Oh, God, forgive me of those ways, Lord. Loose me, oh Lord Jesus, from that pattern, oh God. Loose me and set me free from that mindset, Jesus. I need the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I need the touch of grace upon my life. I need the touch of love and of mercy upon me today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you're one of these, amen, that just come, amen, just on a Sunday, just to appease a conscience somewhere, you're who I'm preaching to this morning. It's just become a prisoner. It's just a pattern to you. Amen. Salvation is more than a pattern. Salvation is an experience. Amen. And the devil knows it as well. And the devil wants you to fall into a pattern. You've got to get out of that pattern. You've got to shake yourself from that pattern. Amen. Being a prisoner of the pattern is like being locked up by the enemy. Amen. That's not the reason that God chose to save us all. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not so that he could lord over us in telling us all of these things and saying that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But God knows that you need to live around the church. God knows that you need to frequent the church. God knows, amen, that you need to be a constant visitor, amen, in the church at all times, because God knows what's on the outside. God knows what's lurking in the shadows. God knows that your enemy, amen, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God knows what you're going to face tomorrow. God knows the temptations that are coming your way, and that's why God's reaching for you in the church service. That's why God's reaching for you every service. God's pulling on you. Why? Because he loves you. There's a relationship that he wants to have with you. It's not his will that any should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. It's time to come running to the mercy seat. It's time to come before the throne of grace and say, God, forgive me. God, I've become religious. God, I've become the prisoner of pattern. Oh God, I need an experience. I need an experience, God. I need to break out of this pattern. I need an experience, oh God. I need you, Jesus, afresh and anew today. I need the fresh touch of the Holy Ghost, the freshness of the oil as it flows over me. I need you, Savior.
Come on, God's moving on you now. God's moving on you now. Go ahead and open up to Him. Open up to Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.